What I've dedicated my life to is revenge.
A brand new drama based on the best-selling novel.
They think they're better than us.
Who do you think you are?
I'm going to prove to them that they're wrong.
She's punishing me.
You destroyed my family. I will not rest until I've destroyed yours.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4 starts tonight at 9.
Some people just don't face adversity. They survive what most people can't even imagine and still choose to heal, to grow, and to choose others to help them do the same. Today's conversation is about resilience, not graphic details, not re-traumatization, but what really takes to reclaim your identity, your voice, after life has tried to break you. If you've ever wondered whether healing is still possible, stay with us and you're going to find out. Now, before we begin, follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi for conversations rooted in healing, strength, and hope. Now, today, my special guest, my very, very, very special guest is Adrienne Caldwell. She's the author of Unbroken Life Outside the Lines. Adrienne is a powerful advocate for trauma awareness and resilience. She speaks openly about healing, hope, and reclaiming identity after profound life changes. Adrienne, thank you so much for being on the show. I am so glad that you're here today. Tell everybody a little about yourself.
Hi, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me. It is truly a privilege to be here. So I'm Adrienne Caldwell. I did write a book, Unbroken, Life Outside the Lines. It's the story of my life from early childhood to early 20s. And during this time, and this will serve as our trigger warning, during this time, I was either the witness to or the victim of the sexual assault of a young girl, the drowning death of another, emotional and physical abuse, extreme poverty, mental illness, homelessness, horrifically abusive foster care, bulimia, drug and alcohol addiction, pedophilia, death, suicide, and incest. So, as I've said, I've either witnessed it or been the victim myself. So, but I'm not here to dwell on those things. I am here to show that it is possible to go through hell and come out the other side. For me, it was not an easy, clean journey of just, smooth healing and recovery. It took years of self-medicating and making mistakes and doing the wrong things. And eventually, it was actually the birth of my daughter that forced me to get my life together. And a truly profound healing, something happened when I was writing Unbroken. It forced me to confront and to relive those traumas. And as you may know, the brain doesn't differentiate between a trauma in real time and a trauma that you're just revisiting in your mind. Your body is affected the same. So it was incredibly difficult for me to write this book, but ultimately so cathartic because I am now in a place where I've healed and I've grown.
I love it. Well, I give you kudos for having the strength to write that book because it is very hard to revisit painful times in our lives. And boy, does it really stir up emotions. It, like you said, when you put yourself back into situations and you go into your head and you relive those situations, even though you're not in the present tense, it takes you back. Like you feel like you're in the present tense. Those emotions come to surface and you feel it all over again. But I wanted to ask you, without going into any trigger detail, how do you describe the journey from surviving trauma to reclaiming your sense of self?
As I mentioned, it was not a smooth, seamless journey. I made all of the mistakes. I did the self-medicating. I did the drugs. I did the alcohol. I did everything I could to just numb myself. Because I was hurting so much. I was in so much pain just agony. And I had so much rage from all of the abuse that was done to me. I was so angry about it. But I got to the point where I don't even know the number of times that I attempted suicide, because some of those attempts were during drunken blackouts. I wasn't even, consciously, but that's how hurt I was, how damaged I was, and how much I wanted the pain and suffering to end. So going through that, and there was a culminating event, and it's covered in my book, so I don't want to give it away here. But it was a culminating event where I realized that what I had been through, that there was a purpose to it, that I was here on this planet for a reason, and that I wasn't going to be allowed to leave, to end my life, until I had achieved my purpose. And I think, it didn't come with a memo. I don't know exactly what my purpose is, but I think it's to share my story with others, and to be a beacon of hope for those people struggling, whether it happened 20 years ago and they're still fighting to try to recover from it, or whether they're in the middle of it right now. I want to be that beacon. I want to be the person that they can say, they can read my book and say, if she can go through all of that and come out the other side and live a happy, healthy, just beautiful, blessed life, then I can do it too. I can make it through what I'm going through. I can get to the other side as well.
I love it. I love it. I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. I think when we go through it, we're like, why does this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? And you go through the pain and you go through the anguish and you have the tears and you go through the depression and you go through all those emotions. And and it's so normal. So many people go to drugs and alcohol, just it's a coping mechanism. You know, all
Absolutely.
these addictions are coping mechanisms, trying to just get through, and not feel the pain, and it's normal. And sadly, many people, when it comes to depression, they take suicide as the way out because they don't want to wake up every morning feeling the way they do, and then you survived all of it, So I do think you're a beacon of hope. I do believe that you're here to share your message with others because, I truly believe that we go through all this in life because there is a calling for us on this planet, and your calling is to help others. And just to have the courage to be able to share your story is huge. I don't think people realize how hard it is to come in front of an audience and to talk about our personal lives, but what I say to people is it's always great to share our stories with others because there's so many people out there that feel so alone. And by sharing your story and by sharing how you overcame the crisis, you rose above the obstacles and you turned your dreams into a reality, gives others the hope that they could too, going through what you went through. So many survivors struggle with the question, who am I now? Like, what helped you begin reconnecting with your identity beyond what happened to you? Because like after we go through these things in life, we begin to try to reconstruct ourselves, but we don't know who we are yet. We've lived this life of dysfunction. We've lived this life of chaos. We've lived a life of hurt and pain. Now it's like that's all we know in our environment. Now we are going into another world. We know there's something better out there, but it's like, how do we reconstruct the person who we are? Because this is all we know. How do we become that person that, the person that has the nice family or the person that feels good about themselves, and we're able to get rid of the worthlessness, and we're able to get, to go from having low self-esteem to being confident and being proud of ourselves. and stripping away that I'm worthless, I'm this, I'm that, I'm taking away that word dysfunctional family, taking away all these things and stripping all those titles and just putting ourselves back to a plain core, and just we're now we're reconstructing a new person. How were you able to reconstruct yourself from where you were and become the person now that you've become a wonderful individual who's helping millions of people? How do you get to that point where you can reconstruct your identity like that?
For many, many years, I defined my self-worth, my self-esteem, the value, based on, well, at first, when I was younger, I got that validation from relationships with men, that I was valued, that I was sought after. And it's something I'm not proud of. But in the early days, in my early 20s, that was a force that gave me worth. And I continued to find external sources of validation, becoming a mother, that I created an identity about around being a mother. My mother was schizophrenic and physically abusive, and so I vowed that I would give my daughter a childhood that I never had. And then it went to my career. I defined my self-worth around being a professional. I was a certified financial planner, senior financial advisor. I identified my value by what I could do, my performance. And what stripped me of that was, and this will be out in book two. I became medically disabled when I was 35 years old. I developed rheumatoid arthritis, and I am not able to work. There are days where I literally do not get out of bed. So to go from defining your self-worth based on your career success to losing all of that, it really forced me to reevaluate who I was, who I am, and my self-worth, my value as an individual. And it's been a long road. It wasn't smooth. Nothing in my life has really been smooth. But through the relationships that I have with my daughter, with my husband, with my family, being the person that I want to be, being a good person, trying to do, really, I say that for the first half of my life, I was a bad person. And I'm not trying to get sympathy. I really was. I was manipulative. I took advantage of people. I did things I'm deeply, deeply ashamed of. So for the second half of my life, I'm trying to kind of make up for it and to be the best person that I possibly can. So my self-worth and identity now revolves around that, helping, trying to help. And if that means being vulnerable and being open about the things that I'm ashamed about, I'm willing to do it because I hope it helps somebody else who's in a similar situation. Now, I haven't received a lot of well, hardly any feedback from anyone saying, "Hey, you made a difference in my life." I'm hoping to get some of that when the book releases, but I am now a good human being. I'm kind. I don't value myself based on, book sales or accomplishments. I have goals. I'm ambitious, but they don't define my self-worth anymore. So.
That's wonderful. You've come a real long way. Now, writing Unbroken was clearly a courageous step. What did the process of putting your story into words teach you about healing and self-trust?
So again, writing was hell. It was absolute hell. And it took me 5 years to finish the book because I would revisit. I actually, when I was 20, I contacted Children's Protective Services and I asked for my case file. And I received every document that had ever been written about me, therapist reports, psychiatric evaluations, caseworker notes, everything. And I'm sorry, Stacy.
It's
Please
okay.
edit this. Put me back on track.
Okay. So, writing Unbroken was clearly a courageous step. What did the process of putting your story into words teach you about healing and self-trust?
So I had to, for me, Unbroken, there's nothing that I'm holding back. It is the truth. And many, many times it's an ugly truth, but I refuse to sugarcoat it. In fact, I received feedback from like my beta readers. And they said, Adrian, sometimes in your story, instead of you being the protagonist, it sounds like, you're coming off as the villain, as the bad guy. And they were wanting me to change that. And I said, no, I'm not going to, because in those moments, I was the bad guy. So the healing that's taken place has been a journey. And in my book, I use the metaphor of building a wall around myself. I say that each brick is a trauma that I've endured, and the mortar is made from my unshed tears. And that I just stacked every trauma, every incident, and that finally my wall was so high that not even I could see over it. And writing Unbroken has helped me to take that wall down. So it forced me to confront some really uncomfortable truths and force me to make decisions about how I want to move forward. Do I want to keep those walls? Do I want to remain numb? Because for a significant portion of my adult life, I've been going through life numb. And writing Unbroken has forced me to confront that and to start feeling again. And it's painful, it's hard, it hurts so much. But I've been taking down that wall and exposing myself to the reader. So that's been kind of the journey of writing Unbroken and the healing that's come from it.
Well, I'm glad that you're able to break down that wall because so many people have like a heart wall around their heart and it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And as the years go on, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker and taller and taller and taller. And, to the point where people do become numb, because what happens is we repress our emotions. We repress it so much that we stop feeling. And that's not good, because then we get those trigger emotions where sometimes someone could say something, a word, a phrase, doesn't mean anything about what we're talking about, but it triggers something that you went through, some type of pain that's still in you and unhealed. And, some of the best things that you can do is writing, even though it's so painful. It's healing at the same time, and a healing process is not, it takes a, it's not a 1, 2, 3 thing. For people who like quick results, like everything in life that's effective, it takes time and it's painful. But once you get over the hump, you see the rainbow at the end. And once you get to that rainbow, it's like a whole new life again, because you no longer feel those negative emotions. The pain is gone, Of course, we're going to always have emotions if we think back to certain situations, but for the most part, we're able to cope, we're able to live, we're able to smile, we're able to be positive. But it's a process, it's a step-by-step process to get there. But it's definitely a painful process, but it's a process that's so worth doing, because you don't want to live life with a heart wall around you. You don't want to live life with pain, repressed deep down inside you. So, I think what you've done is spectacular. Now, there's often a lot of silence around trauma. From your experience, what does silence cost survivors? And what changes when someone finally feels safe enough to speak?
The silence of the traumas, not voicing them, you're losing the chance to have truly deep, meaningful relationships with the people in your life. If you spend your entire time guarded and walled off, you're not connecting with people, you're not having the relationships that you could have, that could give love and meaning. And that silence costs so much. And it's a silent, I don't know if bullet's the right word, but it you lose so many opportunities. You lose the connectedness, the love, the genuine relationships. When you're so busy protecting yourself, guarding yourself against any other damage, you're not open to those other opportunities to love and be loved, to be surrounded and supported. You shut those opportunities down. And when you open yourself up, you're opening yourself up to a world of possibilities. To yes, you're vulnerable, and not everybody is going to respect what you're doing. There are always haters, there are always trolls, there's always somebody out there who's going to be willing to judge you, but they haven't walked in your shoes. And it's my hope, it's my belief that there are more people out there who are wanting a connection, a true, genuine connection that isn't available if you're emotionally closed off. So you lose those opportunities when you're shut down. And it's, the world's your oyster when you're open to whatever your path puts in front of you.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. Now, people sometimes think that resilience is something that you're either born with or not. What have you learned about resilience, and what is it actually built? Is it built over time?
I think that the more experiences you have, the more opportunities you have to engage in the world. And it's up to you how that interaction unfolds. It's not solely up to you, obviously. There is another person or party or family, but you put yourself in a position of control and vulnerability. And when you open yourself up, you there are people out there that you may not even realize, but there are communities, there are friends, there are family members that want to support you. And being resilient doesn't mean being untouched or undamaged. Resilience doesn't mean everything's resolved and your life is perfect. Being resilient means that you can take a blow and keep standing and not lose the love and the kindness and the openness that you have. It's being able to take a hit and to keep smiling, to keep moving forward. That's what it means to me.
I agree with you. I think I've gone through a lot in life, and each time I moved 3 steps forward, I got knocked back 2 steps. And I, to me, that's what made me resilient, is all the every time I fell, I got right back up. And I endured the pain, I endured the anguish and the emotions, but I never gave up. And I think that's what got me to the point where I am today, and that's what made me so resilient, is that I never gave up. And those falls, many people sometimes they fall and they don't want to get back up. But if you get back up and you look at that situation and you say, what did I learn from that situation? How did it help me actually? Instead of looking at it in negative respect. And then, taking what you learn and keep moving forward, I think that strengthens a person over time. I think all those falls definitely strengthen a person over time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't think of the name. I think it's Kingsu, the art of Japanese pottery. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? It's
No.
Japanese pottery where, when it's broken, the pottery is actually repaired with gold. So you go from having a beautiful piece of pottery to the shattered piece that's rebuilt and remade whole. And because of the damage, because it's repaired in gold, it actually increases the value, it increases the beauty of the object. And I'd like to think that that's how we engage and interact. I'd like to think that that's how I take the hits that come from life, that it may break me down, but ultimately I am going to be rebuilt. And I will be stronger, I will be better, as a result of what I've gone through.
I love that. I love that. Now, you're also a mother to a daughter in a university. How was your healing journey influenced by the way you showed up as a parent and a role model?
My daughter saved my life. She really did. I call her my angel, and I would not be where I am today without her. Her father and I got married for a green card, not because I was knocked up, but she was a wedding present. She was conceived the weekend that we got married, and having her, I made the decision that I was going to do whatever it took to give her that life, as I mentioned earlier. and to take care of her and to be someone that she could be proud of, that she could be proud of her mother. And she's who has held me accountable to myself. She's the reason that I no longer self-medicate, that I take the steps that I do, that I approach the world the way that I do. And I don't know where I would be had God not given her to me. And that's how I feel about it. She was placed in my life because I needed her. And she's a total pain in the rear. She's 20 years old. She's exactly like me. She doesn't look anything like me. She looks like her dad. But she and I, we have the same mannerisms. We kind of butt heads at times because we are so similar. But she was a godsend, and I don't know where I would be without her. And I wanted to become someone that she could be proud to call her parent. And she hasn't had a perfect childhood. Her father, my husband, actually passed away when she was 10 years old. So, it wasn't the perfect childhood that I wanted to give her. I'm remarried. She has an incredible stepfather. They have a great relationship. But her being placed in my life was the litmus test. The failure was no longer an option.
That's beautiful. For someone listening right now who feels broken, overwhelmed, or unsure that they'll never feel whole again, what would you want them to hear today?
I would like for them to again say that if going back to my trigger warnings, if she can go through all of that crap and come out the other side and lead a meaningful, productive, happy life, that it's possible for them as well. I'm not magical. I've done things the wrong way. I've done things the hard way. It seems to be the only way I really learn is to do it wrong and mess it up and go from there. But anyone who's feeling broken, I think it's important to put it into perspective that what you are going through right now is not going to be forever. I think of specifically kids in difficult situations with parents or even kids in foster care that and my book is not for anyone under 18. I do not recommend anyone under 18 reading it because it does contain very adult explicit content. But my message to those people is that this is not forever. I know it feels like forever. I know you feel trapped. I know you feel like you're never going to escape. And life can change in the blink of an eye. And just to keep faith and to recognize that it's not going to last forever, and also understand the power that they have as individuals in that very moment. It's up to you how you see a situation. It's up to you how you approach it mentally. Is this going to be something that I'm going to let break me down, or am I going to overcome it? And that's something, that's a mentality, that's a frame of mind. And you can adopt it, or you can choose to let your situation overwhelm you and overcome you and make bad decisions. Do the self-medicating, do the drugs, do the drinking. You have more control than you realize, even if it's only control over your thoughts and how you approach and handle your situation.
100%. Now, Adrian, your story reminds me that trauma does not get the final word. Healing does, hope does, and your choice does. Now, can you tell people about your website and what the different things that you offer and where they can find you?
Sure. So my website is Unbroken Caldwell, that's CALDWELL.com. And you can reach me through a subscribe form. And what is kind of unusual about me, going back to that CPS case file, I've included almost all of my documents from my CPS case files, the psychiatric evaluations, the reports. You can see, like my book is my firsthand account, my website, and I'm turning those documents into a companion text. That's the clinical perspective. So firsthand account, clinical perspective. I'm trying to marry the two so that my book and the companion text can be used in educational programs for students studying psychology, counseling, social workers, caseworkers, anybody in that field, so that they get the dual perspective. And Unbroken Caldwell is my handle at Facebook, Instagram. I would love, 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 love to hear from people. So, if something I've said resonated, please reach out to me. When the book becomes available, I'll be honest, I'm terrified, because I am so honest, and there are things that make me look very, very negative. So I'm scared of the judgment that's going to come with it. I already know it, but I would like to see if I'm making a difference. And I know not everyone leaves reviews, not everyone's comfortable with that, and I completely respect it. But for anyone who's willing, it would help me know that I'm not just talking out into the void. So, yeah.
I think it's going to be great. And one thing, you can't worry about what other people think. You're sending a message out. You're sharing your story. You're letting other people know that they're not alone. And then you're sharing how you overcame it. You're giving people a way out, a way to heal, a way to start a new life. So, if not everybody has the same opinion, and that's okay. But this is what helped you. This is your story, your life, your journey. And you know what? It the what the choices you made in life on the second half of your life turned your life around and gave
Yes.
you the life that you always wanted. So, it worked for you, and
It
that's all
did.
that matters. And hopefully, people that go out and read it and buy it, it's going to work for them too. But everybody's different in this world, and I don't worry what others think. I just worry, that I just hope and pray that every time I do a podcast and every time I help people, that it's going to make a positive outcome in their lives. And that's all you
Right.
have to worry about. And if you can change one person's life, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Exactly. That's my goal, to truly profoundly impact one person's life. And that's a huge goal. It's enormous, because real change is not easy. And I should mention, the book comes out March 17th. So
Wonderful.
we're
I'm
still
excited.
We're still a little ways, but it's coming. I'm going to be doing a Facebook live stream for the book launch, so
I love it. I love it. Well, if this conversation resonated with you, follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Every episode here is to remind you that healing is possible and you don't have to walk the journey alone. Adrienne, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so grateful that you came on. You shared your story. You shared the journey that you took and the different things in life that you did to overcome all the things that you've gone through. And that, like I said earlier to you, that takes courage. And I'm so glad that you're sharing it with the world and you're helping people, by doing sharing your story. And now your book will be out on March 17th, and then the world will be able to read it and have it as a tool to help themselves in their journey. So thank you so much for just, for being an advocate and not getting stuck in life, but taking what you went through in life and turn it into a positive and now helping people by being an advocate. So I give you kudos and I thank you just for being you, because you're just a wonderful person. And I'm so proud, that you're part of our podcast community. And I just want everybody to know that Adrienne has joined our podcast community. She has her own podcast on our channel, and she's going to be doing podcasts on different areas of self-healing, emotional healing, getting through trauma, and a lots of different topics that many people struggle with. So if you're into, making yourself a better person, getting to the next level of life, getting rid of those negative emotions, healing, feeling great about yourself, Adrienne's the one to go to. So I look forward for our future podcast together. And I'm really excited at what holds in the future. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story for the first time with everybody.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey. It's truly been an honor and a privilege to share my story, both with your audience and with you. So thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too.